Hello.
All right. So my name is Fred Ackerman. I am the owner of Black Sheep Adventures, and I have the pleasure of introducing this session. I'm nominally the moderator, but I'm just going to introduce Scott here. The session will be recorded, and my understanding is the slides will be made available as well. So I'm going to kick this off here. So I do have the distinct pleasure of introducing Scott Hume. He is the Director of Security Operations at Global Rescue. In his prior 20-year career with the U.S. military, the former infantryman and Army Ranger led combat missions in the Middle East, planned peacekeeping operations in the Balkans, and also humanitarian support missions, including efforts to tend to the needs of thousands of Cuban refugees in Panama and Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. His military experience laid the foundation to a great skill set used daily in his role at Global Rescue to handle the complexities of various unfortunate travel situations with a goal to prevent crises. The case study he's about to present provides a great learning experience for all of us in the Educational Travel Consortium community, destinations, operators, suppliers, and travel planners alike. You'll learn what all can do better to prevent disaster on tour, to have realistic expectations of the practical limitations of emergency rescue operations, and to do our homework prior to any travel. So we're prepared when plan A gets derailed, and we're now dealing with plan B through Z. And I'd like to hand it off to Scott.
Hi, everybody. My name's Scott Hume. You heard my introduction, and I appreciate that, Fred. Let me tell you what the purpose of today's presentation is we're going to dissect a rescue that Global Rescue did not do. So you probably think, we're going to highlight something that was awesome that we did. And that's not going to be the case. Going to highlight one that we almost did, but we didn't do it for a number of reasons that I think will resonate with the audience. It has a good ending. And I hope, though, we use this because it was complex, and it took the efforts of, so we're a crisis response service provider. That's a company I represent. But there was a client here. There was an organization that our client had traveling employees, but this organization was an NGO. They were an organization that represented some conservancy functions. They were with partner organizations. They were teamed with tour operators. So I think just about any function that's represented by this audience was involved in this and show the complexities of relationships. But also I hope that will show that a lot of times the answer lies right here. And with a little planning, you will be more resilient in your response to anything that gets in your way while you're traveling. So hopefully I just said what that paragraph states. And so there's the purpose. My boss told me this is an overwhelmingly long agenda, but it might look like a lot. There's only about one slide per bullet right there, but I think it's important. And I'm also hoping that when you get these slides, you can use this agenda maybe partially as a checklist. When you run into some problems with a traveler or with a trip, I'll pull that agenda slide out. These are all the things I got to think about. So that's me. I was trying to grow my hair back in, but it wasn't working. So this is what you got. I cut it off my head and grew it on my face. But I started out life as a computer scientist. And that education has come back to haunt me a million times. But I went in the Army because I was on an Army scholarship. And I decided, well, I'm not going to do engineering because I'll do that for my whole life. I'm going to do something fun. And I joined the Rangers. And it was too much fun, so I stayed. But when I got older, The Army sent me to graduate school. I have a master's degree in operations planning and history, believe it or not. And then my post-military life, I went back to business school to kind of figure it all out, figure out what my nation has to offer, because I had been kind of incarcerated for 20 years, unbeknownst to me, and I got an MBA. And I lead a team of guys with those resumes. So I have the special operations community, graduate educations in various fields. And that's what I give you that background so you know my perspective when I talk about these things. And I work for a company called Global Rescue, and we are a travel risk management crisis response service provider, and essentially providing medical advice and evacuation, security advice and evacuation, and kind of the intelligence products that bring all those things together. I hope, like you, that you'll agree that we're in the business of making travel happen. So we are not we just try to embrace risk and help people mitigate those risks so that you would have fruitful endeavors in all corners of the world. So when I was asked to give this presentation, I was asked everybody has to be able to take something away. Got to take something away from this. So here is a planning format. So I just want you to know that this is military, all right? I changed the words, so I tried to civilianize a little bit. This is a military format, but it's one of a million formats, right? You just Google planning, you know, contingency planning. Every discipline in the world has its own kind of format, and I think any of them work. But this is how we solve a problem at Global Rescue. I mean, this is kind of how we start to get our minds around an issue. And again, it's another, I hope you can use it as a checklist. But essentially, if you only do one thing, what I preach when we're on the consulting side is define the problem, bullet number one, and make sure that everybody who's working on solutions is working on solutions to the same problem. And you'll be surprised at how often in an emergency or in a situation that everybody's kind of working on kind of the same problem, but not exactly the same problem. And that leads to a lot of solutions that aren't solving the problem. And so make sure everybody articulate the problem, define it, and then you can read the rest of it, but is determining facts, assumptions, your limitations and constraints, the tasks that you'll have to perform that you know you have to perform to solve the problem. At the end of all that fact-finding, review your problem set and make sure as you defined it, it's still that problem is still the one you want to solve. Develop solutions, compare your solutions, choose a solution, implement a solution. Sounds easy. I'm going to show you where these things go off the rails. And hopefully, at the end of this, you'll be better prepared for the next time if one of your trips ever goes off the rails. So I hope to make this interactive as well. So this isn't just a presentation. I hope this, from here on out, this is a conversation more than a presentation. So this is a call that we get at Global Rescue. That's the beginning of the problem. So if everybody take a look at that, take a quick read. Now, is there anything in that paragraph that means anything to anybody? Is there anything of significance to you? And I don't know you. I don't know what your backgrounds are, your travel experience, anything about you, where you're from. But is there anything in that paragraph that is of consequence other than maybe the obvious, somebody in Nicaragua who's in a little bit of trouble? Hurricane. All right. All right. So hurricanes affect everyone. And there's a hurricane coming. And
I presume they're on the Caribbean coast.
They were. So close to the hurricane. All right. And it's coming. It's almost there. I guess that's not clear yet. Anybody know what that date? Anybody got a photographic memory of a calendar in their mind? That's the day before Thanksgiving, right? So what You know they say never have a heart attack on a holiday, right? Because it's like the new doctor who's in the emergency room. Well, never get in trouble on a trip the day before a holiday because everybody else is also enjoying the holiday, as you'll find out. Now, Global Rescue, I took the call, so I just want you to know we're on duty. But frequently, you'll find that this is kind of, you know, your ability to respond on a holiday, it's not just in the emergency room at your local hospital. It's thin around the world. Even though it's an American holiday, you will find that at least one global agency is also celebrating that, and it's our American embassies. So embassies are getting, the Nicaraguan, the U.S. Embassy in Nicaragua is getting ready to close down at 10 a.m. the day before Thanksgiving. So, okay. So now I'm going to, so here's the first thing we do. I don't know if it would be the first thing you do, but when you get a situation, I know we go right to the map. Let's just start scoping in. Let's just see what we got. So we think we know, we think, the word think will come back to have more importance here as we go further into this presentation, but we think we know where this, the client says their employee is. And so go right, and we have a GPS, we have a latitude, longitude. We have a fix, and it is in that blue square. So, like, when I look at that, it means something to me, but it probably means, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, but everybody's 1,000 words are a little bit different. So, what does that mean? It's a remote destination. Already, I'm already feeling the complexity, right? It's a remote destination. Anything else besides the remoteness? Right, it's a jungle, right? You just know that's going to be complicated, right? It's remote and it's the jungle, and it's on an international border, so it's harder to tackle because I can't get at this problem from three different directions, from all around, right? I have a border down there that may be potentially hard to cross, so that might almost gives me an approach direction that I have to cross out of my solution set. So we start to bound this thing in. I'm going to go through a couple of maps there. Same blue square, same spot. As I start to scroll in, this is just Google Maps, but I'm scrolling in, and every time I scroll in, I'm still not seeing one thing. Anybody know what's absent from that blue square? Roads, right? Roads and cities, right? There's nothing. I'm not seeing even a town, right? So I'm getting that feeling in my stomach right now. That, like,
what's the time frame on the hurricane?
I'm going to show a timeline slide here. So if you'll hold out, so I don't get ahead of myself. So Oh, we got one little town there, Gray Town. But man, when you scroll in that far to finally get to that town, that's going to be a small town. But so you're on the Caribbean coast, you're on an international boundary. It's a nature preserve or, you know, biological reserve. One tiny little town. I don't see any roads yet. And there's Gray Town for down in the bottom right corner. And that square now represents where we think this gentleman is that may require extraction. So now I'm going to go to some satellite imagery. Again, still just from Google Maps. That's the little town of Graytown. So if you take a look in the top left-hand corner, that's the town. The bottom right-hand corner shows it an airfield, a dirt strip. And if you put it in perspective, the town is only as long as the runway. So that's a tiny town, and probably not going to be a whole lot there. And they know a hurricane's coming. And that's just one more close-in look. So I'm trying to scope this problem in and bound the problem. This is one of the first steps we do, is to start looking at it. And this helps get, from my perspective, and I hope this, as if you find yourself in a position like this where you're trying to talk to other kind of parties who are part of the problem set that you're all looking at, this is an easy way to look at the same thing. You can all look at one thing, and you're looking at the same thing. So there's a start. So these are questions I ask. Anybody take a look at those? So is there anything else you think you'd ask? Like, who is this guy?
Does he have any disabilities?
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Age? Sure. Yeah, we want to know everything about this guy, right? We might be looking at, you know, somebody who's got no experience in the jungle, they're not prepared, you know, this is a trip just gone bad, or we might have, might have Davy Crockett out here, he knows everything about the jungle, and is, you know, those are two different guys. Somebody being injured, somebody not being injured. So you're right, we're trying to gather every piece of information we can, because that's going to help us scope in what our solution sets are. So I'm going to answer these questions for you. And in my experience, these answers, there's always a surprise. That's my experience, and I'll tell you, there's going to be one here too. So I have a timeline, sir. Here's your timeline. So some other things that help us. These are, I consider to be, facts of the problem set. What is it, you know, what kind of time are we working with? What's my time horizon for solving this problem? So we got the call at 10 a.m. on the 23rd. The hurricane was due to hit that little town of Greytown in 22 hours. So that gentleman was about 20 miles in from the coast. And I don't know what that gives you in time, but it's probably only another 2 hours maybe from when it hits the coast to when it hits where he was. It was about 40 river miles to get him, but 20, as the crow flies, direct miles. So maybe 24 hours max till it hits where we think he is, but it's only 6 hours until dark. And that is a huge constraint. If you were maybe in the desert, or maybe in an urban area, someplace that was a little more hospitable, you might have some more hours, but in the jungle, it just gets dark. So that limits maybe putting a boat on that river that puts a helicopter crew to be able to fly at night and to fly into the jungle and land in the jungle after dark. Those are really hard to find, believe it or not. So now we're already thinking, this problem set, got a little bit bigger. Maybe this isn't just evacuation. This is, we got to keep this guy safe, right? Because we have to figure out how this guy's going to survive, maybe survive this night. He may have to survive the whole thing before we can get him out. So now there's, you know, in some ways that problem set just got a lot bigger. This isn't just an extraction. This is about keeping this guy safe, and how are we going to do it? Just communicating with him. How do we get what he needs to make sure that he's safe? Then, of course, we have Thanksgiving Day. This doesn't mean anything to this guy. He's in the jungle, and he's on a mission. He's doing his job. But the embassy's closed. Other resources are closed. But more importantly, the company that he works for is closed. So they're all dispersed. So now they're trying to kind of bring the administration back in, you know, to have everybody on duty. And they're not just closed. They're on vacation. They're many of the front office are deployed, if you will. They're skiing. Somebody was skiing. So an important figure was skiing. But it was hard for them to even communicate because of the holiday. That guy didn't have a problem. But it was the people coming after him were not necessarily, you know, they didn't have a plan back at the home office to deal with the holiday if something happened. And then on Thanksgiving Day, Hurricane Otto was going to pass by about 6 p.m. at night. And then the other interesting piece was that on the 25th, the day after, he planned on coming out anyway. There was a plan to bring him out on the 25th, and that was still set. So, you know, okay, how do we work that in? Is there a way to work it in? Should we work it in? Can we move it up? What is the plan? So, okay, now it gets more complicated. So we start to ask more questions. I gave you that list of questions. Here's some of the answers. So that one gentleman, he's traveling with another group. So we have this non-governmental organization, but they're going with another group. So now there's I'm probably not going to say this properly, but there's relationship issues. So, you know, is the our client, they want their guy out, but what does that mean to the other group? Do they want a guy out too? Do they have coverage with another company? Are we going to work at cross purposes with somebody else? Can we blend our efforts together? Is one company going to get mad at the other company? You know, is there a public relations thing here? And is anybody prepared to tell this story? The next fact, when we find out, well, so what is this trip anyway? They're filming illegal activities down in this nature preserve. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but there's some illegal activities going on, and clearly some folks who don't want to be videotaped, and this guy is videotaping them. So that definitely presents a twist. There's no doubt about it. So now I'm going to take a moment and back up and say, you saw my title when we started this. My title at my company, I'm the director of security operations. Now, to be quite frank, I don't do any security. I hardly do it. All the guys on my team, they're veterans, they're from the special operations community, they have all those backgrounds, but really we're the guys who do everything except medical in my company, right? So we really don't do a lot of security, but security is the name that we give ourselves because I couldn't tell you why. I guess logistics, the logistics team doesn't sound that cool. But now we really think, like, hey, we might have a security component to this operation, and that will change the dynamic, right? That's something serious to consider. So that, again, our solution sets start to morph and change. Now, the next thing that I think maybe the more important piece on this slide to this community here is that traveler, come to find out, he's not really an employee of the client. He's a contractor, so he's not covered. So that's going to have implications. He's not a covered traveler. That's what he is. He's a contractor, and he's not covered by the agreement he has with my company. Now, this is not an advertising thing, but if you have agreements with insurance companies or a destination with a tour provider, with a logistics provider, right? If you have signed an agreement, you got to know what's in those agreements because they will have a bearing on solving these kind of problems. So it's incumbent on everybody to really know and pay attention to, not just know what's in the agreement, but, be prepared to, work within the framework of it or have a contingency to operate outside the framework of it if something happens. The communications, they had a texting. So anybody know what a DeLorme device is? You ever heard that company, DeLorme? They make a GPS-type device, very good company. We use them at Global Rescue, that travelers can use. They pair with your cell phone. So you can text on your cell phone. You get all the maps from the GPS piece onto your cell phone, and then you can text through it, but it texts through a satellite component. So you don't have to be under the cell network, and they're really pretty nifty. And I prefer satellite phones. If I could recommend anything to anybody, is a satellite phone's, it's just easier to talk. But hey, if you want to use the texting feature, that's great. But this guy didn't have it. The other group had it. So now there starts to be some friction about how we communicate. The client didn't want us to communicate to the other organization, to their guy through the other organization. Again, a relationship thing that, these things need to be considered, right? So I'm probably not articulating this well, but there starts to become friction points that are presenting themselves between not us, but with the solution sets that our client wants us to pursue because of potential friction with this partner organization. And then because we can't talk to the traveler, we're not even really sure the guy wants to get out. So now we're looking at potentially going in there to get a guy who's really not concerned. We're not even really sure because we think this guy's a pretty well seasoned guy. He's prepared. I didn't make that clear in the slides. He's prepared. He's done this before, a lot of training, a lot of experience, well supplied, and healthy, young guy. We're not really sure he wants to go out. We think he's there for a reason. The other thing is that you could tell now that the timeline slide has been out. We got called when the hurricane is almost there. hurricanes just don't show up. So what happened in all those days when we knew it was coming, but, you know, that always leads you to think that there's something you're not getting the whole piece of the story. No matter how much you dig, man, there's something else there. So, you know, kind of when the hair on the back of your neck goes up. Okay, quick class on the jungle. Anybody been to the jungle? Like a real jungle? All right. Okay, so I have as well. I actually, for this one, I haven't been to everywhere in the world, but I have been on the Caribbean coast, Central America, from my military days, a lot of time deep in the jungle, and here's what I know about it. It's beautiful. Love it. It's lush. But it gets dark early. It gets dark. Whatever you think you have for daylight, it just is dark there. Landing zones. If we're thinking about helicopters, you know, a helicopter can only land in a landing zone, right? It's got to land in a cleared area. And they are frequently not easy to find. So, again, you start to limit your options. Weather conditions can be very local. Personnel on the ground, you might find a landing zone, and it might be 1 mile from where your traveler is. 1 mile down a dirt road, no problem. 1 mile through the jungle, that's a whole different scenario, right? That's land navigation. You know, he might not have anybody, you don't want the guy to travel by himself, so now there's another party that's going to go with him. There's a million things that come into traveling through that we start to think about, and these really minute details have major effect, right? You get a helicopter almost near a guy and still not get to him in the jungle. So that's a concern to us. Signaling can be difficult. Light is stunted just because the jungle is the jungle. Communications ranges decreases on your equipment. And special equipment, if you're asking a helicopter to bring, we'll talk about helicopters in a second, to bring in special equipment, a hoist, that takes a special crew, takes a special helicopter. To be able to put a stretcher on, it's a special helicopter. To bring medics with you, it's another special helicopter, right? You start to have passenger constraints. So these are all things that kind of move into the, you know, become part of the solution set. They're very hard to overcome if you haven't planned this first. Now, you may think I'm getting kind of off script here because I'm talking about the jungle. I'm going to tell you about helicopters in the next slide. But the point being that I'm trying to show you the complexity at the moment of impact and that with a few simple planning tips or a few kind of preemptive measures, you never have to worry about this stuff. Now, I'm also going to tell a little war story here. Okay, so where I went to grad school, you've never heard of it. I went to graduate school at the U.S. Army School of Advanced Military Studies. And it is right down the road in right outside of Kansas City. It's at Fort Leavenworth, which you all think is a prison. And it is, but most of it's actually a campus, a beautiful campus, and a lot of historians there and a museum there, and it's beautiful. So on frequently in the main hallway of the main academic building, the historians, they have all these display cases, and they change them out like once a month. And they put like some beautiful, like, you know, just museum-quality things. And I remember this one kind of row of displays, and it was about the planning for D-Day, June 4th, 1944. And it was, the original orders that Eisenhower signed, and it was, you know, the precursor to the Navy SEALs, the frogmen who swam up to the beaches, and they, like, drew out the map, and then engineers hand-drew these super detailed, you know, landing schematics. Remarkable, the amount of planning and just the effort, right? It was almost like monks writing Bibles, you know, that everyone had to be handwritten. And then one of my professors goes, hey, did you see the display for D+1, the June 7th display? I'm like, no, we didn't see that. Like, yeah, because nobody did it, man. You know, we got so focused on getting there, we didn't plan on the contingencies. So I use that, and, you know, that was his point too. You know, we always focus. Sometimes you get so wrapped up in just getting there that you don't think, you know, you don't think of the contingencies about what happens after you get there. So I would use that story to tell you sometimes it's worth just a little bit of thought about what happens after you get there. Ask questions, you know, from your network. Hey, you know, tour operator, tour provider, destination. What if something goes a little sideways on this? You know, what do you think the options are? You know, just pen out a few phone numbers, a few websites, a few, you know, have something go sideways. This guy might be the guy. He's the guy with the boats in Greytown. You know, that one number could have solved a lot of things. Okay. Now I'm going to bore you with, just like I told you I was, I'm not surprised that you're here. This is a one-slide class on helicopters. I will tell you that in an emergency, everybody thinks helicopters save the day. They are the panacea to all travel emergencies. And I will tell you that they're super hard to work with. They are not. They work in very specific situations, and when they work great. But believe it or not, they're short range, right? They can only, you know, they're not planes. They only fly a little ways. So I'll take you back to the map, right? We're in this piece of the jungle from the capital of Nicaragua, Managua. I mean, I think we're like 200 miles. Like, that's the range of a helicopter, right? They can't do anything when they get there. So, you know, they got to get gas on the way, or you got to pre-position fuel for them, so just so they can do the pickup and turn around. So, I mean, there's some of the limitations, right? So I tell you this because when you're far afield and you're doing some really great adventures, you know, the farther you get from civilization, the farther you get from these guys, and the harder it is to bring this kind of an asset to bear. They don't all have GPS. So in this case, I had a GPS coordinate, but I didn't know if I could find a helicopter with one, right? So I might have a guy flying it and reading the map, you know, all at the same time. It gets a little more difficult. Got a place to land. Special equipment, we covered that already. You know, if anytime you need to start adding special equipment to an airframe, well, you're starting to reduce the population of airframes. They have limited passenger capability. And now we were talking about getting one guy out, right? So that's kind of where we thought this problem was going, getting one guy out. But we knew there's a whole pile of people there. And, you know, what if this helicopter had to keep turning? You know, now you have a fuel problem, a crew day problem, right? That starts to get to be a bigger problem with helicopters. Sometimes you only get that one guy out on a helicopter. Limited lift capability, affected by weather. And what do we have coming in? A hurricane. So, you know, helicopters, you know, I would tell you, winds that you might think are just something common to the Midwest can keep a helicopter from really performing optimally. 30, 40 mile an hour wind starts to put these on the edge of the envelope, okay? Especially if they're small, if they're more touristy, you know, not military helicopters, but, you know, even your local medevac helicopters here in America would have a hard time in high winds associated with an inbound hurricane. A lot of them can't fly at night. Crews don't have that capability. And, you know, if crews are inexperienced, you know, and then also, even if they are experienced and willing to fly at night, they still got to see the landing zone. And that means the people on the ground have to be able to mark it, which is probably an LZ marking kit. It's probably not something your average guy goes on an adventure trip with. So, again, they're not the panacea. They're great when they work, but they have complications as well. So I covered some of these. So here's we never got to this point. The question came up, but we didn't have to solve it. So there may not, if we were going to solve this problem with a helicopter, this guy might not, he's a videographer. He's probably got some stuff like in the back room right now. Are we going to tell that guy to leave it on the ground in the jungle or that somebody else has got to carry that out for him? I don't know how that all lands out, but that you already feel like you're not going to get happy faces when you start to bring up those conversations, right? Since the traveler's not covered, right? There's no coverage on this particular traveler that somebody's got to pay for it. So this is a tough topic in these times, and this is the last thing you ever want to talk about. I mean, I hate bringing these things up, but these are facts of rescues. They have costs, and can you access funds? If you want to pursue this, can you access it? And can you do it on Thanksgiving, right? And so we will find that in this particular case, the answer was turning out to be no. So, and then all of our solutions also in this particular case showed that we weren't going to be able to get this guy back to his start point, which was Greytown. if we were getting him out, he was going the opposite direction. So again, some logistics things to work out, you know, that the organizations needed to work out. We can. We can, and I think a lot of organizations can. So yes, the short answer is yes, that's not a problem. Is your credit card, you know, if your company can operate that way, that's fine with my company. I think a lot of organizations could do that. Now, what we ran into in this particular case is the person we're talking to, the kind of our point of contact with the client, they probably had a credit card, but they didn't have authorization to move the funds, right? So the person who did have authorization was traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday and we were unable to contact that person. So again, a little bit, some kind of friction.
So if the value client, though, you would bill them on Monday.
As a value client. Potentially. So now, I'll be frank. If this is a $5,000 operation, I'll call you on Monday. If this is a $100,000 operation, that's a different conversation. Again, it's a tough conversation, and those are decisions that my boss makes, and so I'm not even comfortable talking to you in a public environment about those because they're so sometimes contentious and hard to discuss, but they have to get discussed because the guy who owns the helicopter in Nicaragua, with a hurricane bearing down, he's not getting in the helicopter without some money, right? Because he's asking for some money. Everybody asks for money on these things if the traveler isn't covered. And again, I don't want to make it seem seedy, but these are the things you will run into when you try to solve these kind of problems. So if you're prepared for them, like the gentleman brought up a great, great point in the back, you got a credit card and you're authorized to use it, done. Is that my signal? That we have a power outage there, or is that get off the stage? All right. Sufficient funds, authorization, and then plan with other organizations to share the costs. So those are things to work out in advance. The players. A lot of people involved in all these things. The traveler. The companions. The client, CFO, CEO, two different locations, having a hard time themselves talking. Us, crisis response provider, the helicopter crew. I probably didn't even, I say the companions, but there was also like kind of the companion organizations, which is another level of, a hierarchy to negotiate with or to consider. And then, this wasn't necessarily a trip per se, where maybe there was some destination organizers, some tour group organizers. So there can be a lot of people that get involved in this right off the bat. And the more people, I don't have to tell you, it gets complicated. So I'm hoping that I'm bringing home that, a little bit of pre-planning and talking about these hard topics with anybody you're involved with on tours, on trips, that you don't have even this much of a conversation before is worth this much risk reduction, when the event happens. Or hopefully it doesn't happen because you plan for it. Client responsibilities, understanding the agreement. Sometimes these things are complicated. And you don't want to, this is not the document you want to review on Thanksgiving Day. Having access to financial resources, that's a whole other, having an agreement with your bank or your credit card company, those kind of things within your own organization. Communications. This is something, when I say communications, the first thing that comes to my mind is I want to talk to the traveler. I want to talk to the party in need, and I am hoping that if I preach one thing, it's take a satellite phone. You can almost always get through on a satellite phone, right? If you're in an emergency, put that antenna up, go outside, and you're going to talk to somebody, even if you're outside the cellular network. But communications is a wide spectrum. That's what I think of. But I know what companies think of sometimes is there's communication with management, communication with other parties, communication with the public. If this gets to be a public event, has anybody prepared to I find these are stories, and stories either you tell it or it'll tell itself, right? So you don't want to get caught short on those. Families, if there is a communication with a family, are you authorized to do that? Are you prepared to do that? you can read the rest of the list. And then communications, I've kind of already, I'm trying to beat this into the ground. I don't have any stock in satellite phone companies. I don't sell them or retail them or move satellite communications anyway, but I am a believer in it, that sat phones, they're the way to go. Got to have two-way communication. You got to have, you know, ultimately communication, we'll need communication with helicopters, boats, and rescue teams. A lot of people at the tip of the spear will need to be talking, and satellite phones are a great way to do that. And then, of course, there's kind of the overarching umbrella of communication with family, public, legal, all the entities, all the players. I showed you the player slide earlier. Very complicated, and you need, you know, it's great to have a plan in advance. And lessons learned. Bullet one, communication. Everybody's got a little different concern, and getting concerns out on the table with all the parties involved, excuse me, it's a great way to start building your problem. You know, to understand everybody's kind of stake in this thing helps you solve a problem faster. Time and timing, and that leads into the next bullet. I tell everybody when they ask for advice, you know, physics plays a huge role in a rescue, right? I mean, it takes so long to fly a helicopter. It takes so long to get to you. Some days, the best answer is really bad. You're just going to wait for a while. Be prepared to wait. Now, this guy was going to likely wait. He did. The good news is this guy didn't want to get evacuated, come to find out. He had a perfect shelter plan, and he got out on the boat that brought him in 2 days later, just as planned. But would have been nice to kind of be able to talk to the guy and know that in advance. But he was prepared to be stuck. He was prepared to be in the jungle for about 10 days, and he was definitely prepared for these last 2 days, which is fortunate. You are part of a network, and so I didn't know until I met Fred about 2 weeks ago and some phone calls. Fred did some consulting time. I've done some consulting, and we've come to the common conclusion that usually the answer lies right here, right? You have the answers. The answers exist within your network. The answers to solve these problems exist here, and you just got to dig them out sometimes in advance. And then relationships. You know, they're always part of the equation, and these are great. These are great events to meet people and talk about this stuff, and it's relationships that get you out of this in the long run anyway. So that's that. Oh, sorry, I just backed up. So lessons learned, and that's it. Questions. So I think I'm going to get you out of here on time. You have 9 minutes to ask me anything you want, and then you will be back on schedule. Thank you. I'm not great at reading an audience, so... Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to repeat the question so everybody can hear it. Can you say it one more time? I could hear you.
Are there other reasons
besides the hurricane that your client wanted this contractor extracted from the jungle, such as he was photographing? Yeah, I'll give you an impression, but I can't tell you. I know the answer to that question. I think that this guy was doing the assignment that he was given. It was going okay. They're with this partner organization. That relationship is solid, and everybody went on. Everybody was, you know, it got out of the starting blocks okay. Everybody went to the Thanksgiving holiday, and then somebody woke up in the morning, and I mean this, they literally realized there's a hurricane that's going to hit right there. We got to do something, and you know, it was kind of just a late to the dance kind of story. You know, that's what they saw. I don't think there was anything nefarious. Just nobody expected it or was paying attention to it. Nobody was minding the store, and when somebody realized there was going to have an impacted traveler, that's when they put up the flare.
What ended up happening? You didn't
Yeah, so the recommendation our first day was, we think our professional, our experience says, based on the answers to the questions we got, this guy was solid. He had a good plan. The parent organization might not have been super prepared. This guy had a good plan. He was experienced in that where he was, he was going to weather this thing fine. The first day, he was not. There's nothing to be done at 10 o'clock in the morning on the 23rd, and that if there was, there was this much of a chance on the 23rd, and that there was no chance on the 24th because the hurricane would be there. So we thought this guy, we really should be focusing on communicating to this guy and getting him to safety, but that was what we thought the problem set was: get the guy safe. The client wanted the problem set to be get him out. So we did start to deploy teams from our headquarters. We started to generate our network, contact the embassy, trying to figure out if we need to call in a connection to bring the RSO off of the it was holiday time back to the really spin up the embassy. So I would say we were packed and ready to go when we convinced the client that this guy was probably going to be okay. That there was it was. We weren't going to be able to, we were going to incur a huge expense for a low likelihood of success operation. And that two things caught up. I think they finally, in that context, realized the situation and that the expense was going to be borne by them. And that really gave them pause. And I don't know what those are just the facts. I won't draw any conclusions from that, but it was going to be very expensive. That's right. We thought he'd be fine. You know, yeah. if it was a different person, if it wasn't that guy who was that experienced, and we knew they were well supplied and not prepared for a hurricane per se, but they're prepared to spend time in the jungle, that we thought that they'd be fine. And we think this was a surprise to the front office, but we don't think the team on the ground was surprised. Like that a hurricane's coming. We know they knew. We're pretty sure they knew, and they were ready to do it. So. I don't know. I don't know. I won't speculate if they got anything. These are very, here's the part of this business that I don't like at all, is that these are emotional events, and emotional events frequently spawn some very negative feelings, I think that's kind of, maybe that's where we are right now, that it was very tough, it was draining for that client. That client had to go through all these things, like all those things I was talking about, right? They were not prepared for it, it was a holiday. And there was a lot of stress at the home office. I think the guy in the hurricane probably had a better time. I'd rather have been that guy than at the home office. So I don't know if anybody's embraced the lessons learned yet. So I can't answer your question. I don't know. Sir? Yeah, so that's a great question. So if I ever get the ear of a client, I'm always offering the preparation in advance. Call me. Now I'll work through any problem you got. Right? I mean, even make it up. It can be as fake as you want it to be. But sometimes even those just weird fake scenarios, but they bring together certain pieces of real extractions. So, you know, they work different pieces of the team. So, you know, we're willing to do that. So that's beforehand. In the moment, I got to be frank. You know, I just try to be as forthright and deliver the bad news. If there's bad news, I mean, these are complex, and you don't always get the. I think as a client, you don't always get the answer you want. But I guess, you know, I won't equate myself to a doctor, but you know, if it's bad news, you gotta tell it like it is, and that's the only way you can operate, right? You can only solve the problem as the problem exists. And you know, sometimes it's hard to take, but we just try to, you know, you just try to provide the best guidance you can and the most assistance you can with this experience. You know, like, I've had this experience before, you might want to consider the following, but sometimes that's the best you can do. You feel for them. I do, anyway. You know, you get emotionally involved, unfortunately, and you just feel, you know, you feel for that guy in the jungle, but you feel for the home office, because you just know, man, they have big decisions to make. This is tough stuff. So, sir? They got out just like they planned. 2 days later, the boat that they had planned on getting showed up, and they got out. No, it was a Category 1. So, you know, we say hurricane. I've never had to sit in the jungle through one. I would think it would be a really terrible 48 hours. Not fun, but not that bad either. Yeah, so, no, none of the boats got swamped. None of the supplies got, you know, nobody got injured. No, they just spent 2 days in the rain. Fortunately. Oh, I'm getting the signal. I'm getting the hook. Anybody else? All right, hang around for the rest of the conference, and I'll be out in the hallway after. So thank you very much. Thanks.